This special edition of The Platform is brought to you by the Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association, ZWALA.
It's 7:30, a very good evening to you and welcome to The Platform, a special edition this evening, proudly brought to you by the Zimbabwe Women's Lawyers Association. And my name is Samantha Rusare, and we are going to be discussing some very interesting issues. We're looking at the 16 days of activism, even though I'm sure you all know that we've come to the end of that campaign for 2018, but we're going to be looking at some of the issues that came up throughout the campaign that maybe a lot of you would want to know and be and to learn more about. In studio with me this evening, I have Rumbidzai Venge. She is a ZWALA member. And a very good evening to you, Rumbidzai, and welcome to ZFM Stereo.
Good evening, Samantha. Thank you for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
All right. To get in touch with us this evening, 0731-168-045 is our WhatsApp platform. Please, please do get in touch and be part of this exciting program. As I said, brought to you by the Zimbabwe Women's Lawyers Association. And now from the 25th of November, as I said, it was International Day of Elimination of Violence Against Women, to the 10th of December, which was yesterday, it was Human Rights Day. This period had been the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, and it was a time to galvanize action to end violence against women and girls around the world. And the international campaign originated from the first Women's Global Leadership Institute, coordinated by the Center of Women's Global Leadership in 1991. For far too long, impunity, silence, and stigma have allowed violence against women to escalate to pandemic proportions. One in three women worldwide experience gender-based violence. Wow. Now today we're looking at what were probably one of the themes for 2018. I know there was a hashtag Hear Me Too, as well as End Gender-Based Violence in the World of Work. And that's what we are particularly looking at today with Rumbidzai. Rumbidzai, sexual harassment. Let's just look at that statement in itself. What exactly are we looking at when you're saying sexual harassment? What does it mean?
Well, when we're talking about sexual harassment, generally speaking, we define this as unwelcome sexual advances. This could be requests for sexual favors, verbal, physical conduct of a sexual nature. And then we can break this down. The first thing is that the recipient must not be accepting of this behavior. So they're objecting to this behavior. It's unwelcome. It's something that then also secondly goes into affecting decisions that are made at the workplace. It's, you're sort of given a condition that, you know, if this happens or if you're unable to give me these sexual favors, it may result in it affecting your employment as well. Demotions, we've heard of things like that happening. So that's also another factor that comes about when we're trying to define what sexual harassment is. There's also the issue of it being intimidating and how it ends up creating a hostile work environment. And once the behavior continues and it persists to the objection of the person to whom the conduct is directed. And this happens often in private spaces. And we're talking about work particularly because you spend most of your time at work. Most of your adult life is spent in the workplace. And even if you look at the makeup of your day, you spend so much time in the workplace. And the conduct there is reflective of how it will affect your life also. But the conduct there has to be exemplary. It has to be in the spirit of fairness, as well as respect for mutual persons working at whatever place of employment this may be.
All right. We want to look at as well some of the scenarios. I think we're working well with examples to get our listeners to really understand what we're talking about here. Because I feel a lot of women, or even men in workplaces, don't really understand or really don't understand the depth of some of the actions that the people around them in the workplace do. They really don't understand what it means and how much sexual harassment gets to be called sexual harassment. I don't know. Maybe let's look at examples in terms of scenarios that you can give us that could easily pass off as sexual.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a few scenarios that I can think of, but let's be practical. In the work environment, in the morning, you're off to the kitchen to have your cup of coffee, and then John or Peter, whoever, your co-worker, then wolf whistles as you walk past, and then they say, oh, makabata now, or things like that. So statements such as that, things that go to someone's anatomy, for example, there are people who are obviously made up very differently biologically. Some people may be, you know, gifted in one area or the other, but having that said to you constantly, openly at the workplace, there's several nicknames that will shock you. The dairy board, HKD, a toolbox. There's a whole lot of things that are said, and all of these have a sexual reference and a sexual nature in them being said. Some other things that happen could be you're speaking about a co-worker's sexual exploits in front of other people and making them public, or also calling someone names, relating to their sexual behavior. These are also other examples of sexual harassment. Then we go into what's happening a lot now. In terms of communication and making the ease of communication better at the workplace, instead of me sending 10 emails or 50 emails, we create a WhatsApp group. It's a forum that we have that's supposed to facilitate communication. And it also helps, I suppose, fellowship within an organization for people to build up that spirit of camaraderie and working together. But now what's tending to happen is there are people who may post offensive jokes in there of a sexual nature, maybe objectifying women, objectifying a particular person and naming them. This is also another example of sexual harassment. In the modern day society.
But Rumbi, you've said it, in the modern day of society, a lot of people could pass off, we're journalists, you know, you work in a very free environment.
Absolutely.
And, you know, people say and do all sorts of things and say all sorts of things that they think, you know, is normal. Do the people, perpetrators of the sexual harassment in the workplace, in the workspace, do you think they understand or know that what they're doing is actually against the law?
There's a common Shona Tsumo that says, Manasinga chemi anofirambereko. And I think this is essential because you must make it known that these advances or comments are unwelcome. And I think that's the first step to begin with and say, no, this is unwelcome. It makes me feel uncomfortable. And once you have made this clear that it's unwelcome, then make sure you take procedures perhaps to even have it registered as a complaint. And I think that's a good place to start, because the moment you tell someone that I don't like what you are doing, I don't like the way you are speaking to me, I'm here to work, please be professional, don't objectify me, make it clear. If you've said that and this person persists and they continue, then we know we're looking at a real problem. But I think the first step is definitely speaking out about it. Be explicit. I don't like it. Then there are people who will giggle nervously and inwardly they really don't like it. But you should say that you don't like it. There is no space that allows for that to happen. Or some of the narratives that we've come to believe are true about the workplace, the jokes about secretaries and their bosses, you know, some issues of how people get their promotions, look on the corner of the desk. These little things have become the norm, and I think it's feeding into the frenzy. That's not supposed to be happening in the work environment at all.
All right. Get in touch with us. Please do get in touch with us. If you have a story you want to share, if you have had an experience of sexual harassment in your workplace, please get in touch. 0731-168-045. You can also just send an anonymous message and just tell us of your experience. And it will help someone out there who's probably going through the same thing and does not know that... you know, they can actually go somewhere and get help, because I'm sure it can be very emotionally, and you lose your confidence now and chakwan so fake adresa na shida ku fake kubasa nekuti John achandita ha mai makapata no he's going to make me feel really uncomfortable. It's the little things that we might think a little that really do count. Now Rumbi, you are a member of the Lawyers Association, and I'm sure you've had cases. At what rate are some of these cases with regards to sexual harassment in the workplace?
You know what, Samantha, one of the big things we were trying to do is, as I was saying, it's really about people speaking out and saying, I don't appreciate the way I'm being treated at work, or I'm being touched unnecessarily, people are leaning too much into me and all of that. So what we're trying to do is to spread the message and empower women in these situations, and the men as well. It is something that affects the men, mm-hmm. but we particularly come from the standpoint, and our mandate is to represent the women, yes. the vulnerable women. And from that, we have found that this still remains an issue that a lot of people are not very keen to talk about, because they always end up suffering a lot of economic loss. Mm-hmm. They always end up being they are the victim, but they end up being vilified by the people around them. Oh, she was looking for it, or she asked for it, or why was she dressing like that in the first place? Yes. So it becomes a very difficult space for women to speak out when all of these things are happening to them. So in trying to free up that space and have more cases come forward, we would want more people to come forward. We've had a few cases here and there, but because of that general fear that grips, you'd find that we're not recording as many cases as we know are actually occurring in various workspaces. Another thing that may tend to happen is there are situations when it exceeds the unwanted phrases, maybe the mm-hmm. passing glances, and actually gets very physical. Perhaps it may actually result in actual sexual abuse happening as well. So in cases where there has been that line crossed, or perhaps where there has actually been physical contact as well, the victims have approached the court and sought criminal recourse, and perhaps had these people charged under indecent assault charges, or perhaps it actually then graduated to becoming rape, but it wasn't actually deemed sexual harassment. We've also heard of a few stories where interns were having a particularly difficult time. Mm-hmm. They're really at the beginning of their careers. Yeah, yeah. They're trying to make it. Someone in authority sees them, takes a fancy to them, and then they're guaranteed academic placement and perhaps employment thereafter because they're given sexual favor. So some reports have been made, but we always find that it doesn't go all the way, because there's still an element of uncertainty, an element of fear, and something that really holds the victims back in that regard. So we're also advocating for a safe space for the victims, where we can have an organized sort of way to deal with these things, where we say, if you report a case that CEO of this company has sexually harassed you, you can come and be protected under this bracket of the law. You should not be harassed, and you can speak freely, knowing that your testimony will not be used against you, mm-hmm. and that you get justice and will be able to be employed thereafter. Some employers will say, well, then let's see where you get a good reference from. So these are the realities on the ground. So it's very difficult to break that mold and break the silence, but it's something that we're hoping to do by spreading the message and having conversations such as the one we're having now.
It seems like a whole lot of work, but I think the one thing that I took from what you were saying is that the economic strife, and then how do I go about that? It's a tough decision. Are you working with organizations, organizations that, and their HR departments? Do you have any programs that you have, maybe to also, you know, protect these people, because they still want their jobs, you know, people still want to be able to go to work tomorrow morning and then not have to be told kuti basara pera.
What a scary thought.
Yeah, because I think that's the number one thing. That's the most scary thing. Good, all right, but I could lose my job.
And things are getting tougher.
It
is. So no, it's a major consideration, and it stops a lot of people from coming forward. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at a situation where everyone has been trying in various industries. The Labor Act in itself does provide protection, and it deems sexual harassment as an unfair labor practice.
Okay.
And there are measures and statute that details how that should be done when a complaint has come forward. But really, in terms of having a standalone legislation or instrument a statutory instrument that addresses sexual harassment on its own. I'm very happy we're having conversations towards actually having something like that promulgated and actually enacted. Mm-hmm. But for the moment, we're working with the provisions of the Labor Act. We're also working with certain organizations that will have a governing body that deals with them. For the lawyers, we have the Zimbabwe Law Society, for example. Other organizations, perhaps those in medicine, have their own governing body that deals with that. And their HR departments have been taking this issue up, and in the hope of actually, they've put it into their codes of conduct. We're happy to have seen that as well. But really, it's something that's morphing itself into actually taking root and becoming a standalone legal instrument. And we're excited for that. Then maybe that will be more protection for victims. And we often neglect the mental aspect of it.
Yes.
There's a psychological aspect to that as well. And we need to ensure that there is that support also. So now we're looking at the psychological and psychomotor things as well. And so all of these are things that we need to collectively work together with these stakeholders in these different industries to actually come up with an iron-proof plan that looks at all of these things. But at the moment, there are some of these measures in place. The Constitution also clearly outlines that everyone in the workplace has the right to equal and humane treatment, and that means also being able to speak out when things are not going too well, or when your rights are contravened at the workplace. So there are measures there in place. The question really is, are they being utilized?
That's the question. That's the big number one question for real. Like, are they being utilized? I think one of the I always like to look at things in a realistic way, because I feel some of the, let's say HR, because this is an HR issue, a human resources issue, might find some of these issues petty. You know, I've seen instances whereby certain issues are looked at as you're being petty. And you find that a lot of human resources departments might not treat the situation as you would expect them to treat it as the advocates. Is there any way? What are the steps to take? What are the steps to take if someone has been violated and has had some form of sexual harassment done to her? What are the steps that that person can make to maybe come to the lawyers to have? How does it all go and pan out?
How does it go down? Also, I mean, obviously, we have to start from the proximity within which this has happened.
Okay.
We have to start with the workplace in itself. The human resources department should be sensitive to all of these issues. They are there to ensure that your welfare as an employee is looked after. And then also when you have issues and so forth. So this is a function that each human resources department in every company should perform. So once something like this happens, your first step is make it known to the perpetrator, to the doer of this offensive action, that I do not like this. You need to stop this. That's the first step. Make it known. Because then they'll say, oh, but she seemed to be enjoying it. Or she was smiling.
Or we've done it before.
And Doja Tunuita, you know, or people have work husbands and work wives. Please stop that. Be professional. I think also we can come back to that. But once you have made your complaint known, make it clear. No, Nandijidi, Mr. So-and-so, please, you're disrespecting me. It makes me uncomfortable. This is harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Say that. Then take it up with your human resources department. Be sure to lodge a complaint. Everything that we do and everything that has to do with legalities and court and all of that, you saw from the V11 saga and so forth, you need to have evidence. So it's better that as you go along, always think of that you're gathering evidence. Because if you get to a point where it's your word against somebody else's word, and his name probably appears above the door, and you have no evidence, then you may find yourself very discouraged, even though something has happened to you.
But what if you actually don't have evidence?
No, and you're right to ask that. If you don't have evidence, then perhaps have witnesses. Have someone that you speak to. tell this to someone also once it's happened.
But Rumbi, in as much as you're saying it, it sounds so easy, and you know, the evidence part.
Yes.
It Raitika Tirim Kitchen, I'm warming up my food and this person comes and says something that I might feel I'm very uncomfortable with. This is what has happened. Whatever they have to do, paperwork, and but there's no evidence that this person has done that. No, I did not do that to her. She's lying. What? Then what?
No, no, in a situation like that, and I suppose this is what happens, and then they try and use that muscle, but we are advocating for the human resources departments to be sensitized on these issues. There's been a thrust moving to do those unisex workshops, to do all of that team building, so that it's inculcated within the HR department to then infuse into the rest of the organization as a culture. This is how we treat each other. We do not have this happening. And if it becomes company policy, then it's easier to enforce when something like that happens. The moment someone steps up and says, John said this to me in the kitchen and I found it offensive, something should be done about it at that standpoint. Say, for example, they then call this person in the scenario that you've given us. And this person, they deny it. Point blank, no,
which is
I didn't.
What usually happens,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Blatantly, no, I go to church, water. Don't leave it there. Don't be discouraged. Take it further.
It would have been good to have a member of the Human Resources Association or something to be part of this program, just just to help us understand as well some of the policies that are in these organizations, that are, if they're being implemented and how they're being implemented. Because I feel in a lot of organizations, employees do not know their rights. They do not know some of these issues that we're talking about, that it could easily pass off as an actual offense, and someone could go to jail. There could be a jail sentence for this person. They could lose their job. Let's look at the emotions, because sometimes looking at women, you're saying you mostly advocate for women, you know, you feel like maybe I'm being extra. You know, maybe let me just, what are some of the emotions that you should look out at? Let's say something has happened and you feel, but you didn't feel comfortable with it. What are some of the emotions that you should look out at to show you that, you know what, no, this is wrong. You need to take it up and something needs to happen.
The first thing, and this is the yardstick, is whether or not you deem it to be offensive. Mm-hmm. Is it unwelcome? Is it unwanted? Does it make you feel like you are being objectified? Like you're being, you know, like you're a piece of meat? You know, has there been a line crossed? And that's normally the most effective indicator. Mm-hmm. Because you know, something goes off. It's a flag. It's something, a red flag is flapping in the distance. It's something that you feel. And I think you mustn't try and rationalize and say, oh, no, but this, no. Mm-hmm. It mustn't be happening. Why should something like that be happening in a formal setup? Think of the most formal setup you can think of. Most people will go to church or depending on their background. Uh-huh. Does that happen in church?
No.
So maybe that should be your compass. If it doesn't happen in church, why is it happening at work? Why is it happening in work? And I simply mean that in the strictness of formality and professionalism and how people should conduct themselves. absolutely. And I think I'd left something out also when you were talking about what a victim should do.
Mm-hmm.
Say all of these measures or grievance mechanisms that are put in force in the company have failed you, mm-hmm. you can also approach the court and seek damages under civil action. And you'll basically be saying, this has cost this much in terms of pain and suffering. I've been demeaned to this level. And you can get special damages in instances such as that, where there are mother bodies governing. If this is a pharmacy or a company organization under governing body, then you can write the governing body to have them look into the conduct of one of their members.
You know what I really am hoping for the listeners out there is that, do not listen to this show and in a way that you feel yourself as a victim, but also listen, because anyone can be a perpetrator.
Absolutely.
You know, anyone could be the one to be victimizing someone mm-hmm. in the smallest. And once you do it, it costs you not just your job, but your moral stand. But how can you do that? Let's look at men. Mm-hmm. I know that we're looking at women and the Lawyers Association is especially for the women. But men could actually come up and say,
you they know, could be victims yeah. too. And you're
because
very
the
right.
women could be the ones who are perpetrating mm-hmm. and saying certain mm-hmm. things. Maybe to women out there, because you're advocating for women, what can you say to them that can stop them? Maybe where the line has to stop. There's certain connotations, even us as women, we say to our our workmates, you know. I don't know, what do you think about that?
No, I think it's a really good point that we need to draw the line in the sand somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think often there are women who do this too. I'll be very, very open about that. And you know, lay it on thick on both sides, because it's something that can only change if there's a collective action and a knowledge by both parties involved. Women tend to maybe tie pulling.
It's true.
Yeah, they could also do the scan, the look at somebody from head to toe,
yeah.
and focus on a particular area.
Yes,
that can be uncomfortable for men as well. Absolutely,
and he can actually go and make
say
a
this is sexual harassment.
Case, yeah.
Yes, and comments as well. You rightfully say that can also be very offensive, inappropriate touching. Do you have to extend your hand and pat everyone on the back?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that could also be deemed appropriate. So what's good for the goose should be good for the gander,
mm-hmm.
and we need to look at it on both fronts. Let's
yeah.
just have the work environment as a safe place. Safe zone is professional. I mustn't feel that, oh, you know, I'm going to feel very uncomfortable today because X is going to try and do this, or they're going to say something very lewd about my outfit and then make me feel yay small. So we're advocating against all of that.
I got a message here. I guess, you know, our listeners can have yeah, someone here saying, Zimiaka ume materi enyo opano shanda but V11, you know, like, you know, we're talking about evidence, you know. It's yeah, it makes it a bit tricky if there's no evidence for that. And another one coming through saying, men are also harassed by women. Statements like, Nondite Aondikwani, I think, you know, yeah. That's another message that's coming through. And another person who's coming through, maybe deviating a bit from the sexual harassment, but then actual harassment. She's saying, good evening, we have a problem at our workplace. Our boss is short-tempered. And from the time you walk in, he constantly is screaming at everybody. It affects my work. And it's very disturbing because it also involves children. So I think, I don't know, maybe if you can slowly a bit, just have a bit of a comment, a short comment on that one.
That,
I know
yeah.
it's not sexual harassment, but it is some form of harassment in the workplace. I don't know. She's a woman and the boss is a man. Yeah.
No, I think also it's a crucial aspect, because we go back to the Labor Act and how it defines unfair labor practices.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have your superior speaking to you in a manner that makes you feel yay small, in a manner that demeans you, in a manner that actually then ends up affecting the manner in which you are doing your work. And there's something called constructive dismissal. This is where nobody fires you, but because of the environment around you, that hostile work environment we spoke about, this will then result. And everyone, we go back to Section 65 of the Constitution, has the right to be in a work environment where they are treated fairly, professionally, and with dignity. So that's definitely something that this listener can take up. I would advise for them to start off with their human resources department.
Mm-hmm.
Make a complaint. There's obviously something out of the ordinary in that statement and in that that story that you've just told us. That's not supposed to be happening at the workplace. Yes, it's not sexual harassment, but it is also a practice that should not be condoned or deemed fair at the workplace, and it should be dealt with.
All right, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back listening, talking more on sexual harassment in the workplace, different forms, and how to tackle those issues. 0731168045 is the number to get in touch with me. We'll be back after these messages.
It's 8 o'clock. We are back with the platform where we are looking at sexual harassment in the workplace in light of the 16 days of activism that ended yesterday, which was Human Rights Day, apparently on the 10th of December 2018. And the theme was end gender-based violence in the world of work. I guess that just means that there is a problem. You know, you wouldn't just make an international theme without knowing that there is actually a problem that's happening, and it's rising. It's probably on the strife right now within the workplace of sexual harassment. Now, Deloitte has fired about 20 UK partners over the past 4 years for inappropriate behavior, including bullying and sexual harassment. The accounting group's chief executive said, "We'll fire people for any inappropriate behavior. No one is protected." There has been, unfortunately, a number of partners who have been fired for inappropriate behavior, be it of sexual nature or for bullying nature. I'd like to say there weren't any, but they are. That's big, you know, for organizations that is big like that. But this is in the UK. From your experience in the Zimbabwean field, how far are we? Do you think that we can ever get to that space whereby big partners and, you know, the big guys on top are let go of because of sexual harassment?
What tends to happen is the perpetrators of sexual harassment are often placed very high up in the on the corporate ladder.
That's usual.
Or in the corporate sphere. Mm-hmm. So there are people who have a lot of influence in terms of how things go, and perhaps they can exert pressure when something like this comes up to make things quote unquote disappear. Mm-hmm. There's too many sacred cows at the moment, and this is happening in so many departments, in so many places, but you may only hear of one or two women who were brave enough to actually stand up and speak up. It's time to enforce our rights, and the only way you can do that is if you bite the bullet, stand up, and say something wrong is going on, something bad is happening, something, you know, something that is demeaning my person, something that is affecting my working environment is happening here. There is sexual harassment and it is rife.
It is rife. I got a message here that's saying, "What do you say about dressing in a formal workplace? While men must be responsible and disciplined, I do not condone any form of harassment, even if someone comes to work naked. But it's also human and proper to advocate for moderation on the part of women who dress too short, too tight in the formal workplace." What do you have to say about that, Rumbi?
I agree. I think we come back to what we were talking about, having a uniform system. Let's have a uniform in the strictest sense of it, that we must have certain attire that one can wear to work. Mm-hmm. This should be included in your code of conduct.
Okay, yes. But let's try and complicate it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my workplace setting, you know. It's not really formal. Mm-hmm. We're creatives. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can't tell me kuti ndoenda kafika hembe three-quarter dress, you know, fura mavi. Because I'm a creative. I don't want to be put in a box. We all know that about creatives. Mm. How do you handle a situation or a workplace like that? Because Joshua, you have people who do totally different things. And you know, we're looking at companies like agencies as well. Any company that has to work with creatives.
With creatives.
Yeah.
Well, would you ever come to work in a bikini only?
Not a bikini, but once in a while I come in my very short skirt.
But what, would you ever come in a bikini though?
No.
Why not?
Because I'll want to go with a bikini to the beach, because the bikini is for the beach or for swimming when I'm out with my family swimming or with my friends swimming.
So I think the thing there is about appropriateness.
Okay.
So there's always a measure of appropriateness, even in a creative space.
Okay.
There has to be a line that's towed on what's appropriate for that environment.
But what's appropriate can be very
relative
because makure dakasiana. I've noticed that
and you're thinking, oh,
it's normal to me. I mean, you know, what I'm wearing is very normal to me. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that?
You bring about a very interesting point that how do you juggle the freedom, my freedom of expression and my right to my identity.
Freedom of expression.
That's the word.
That's the word.
how do I balance my freedom of expression, my right to be fashionable versus how that affects other people and may make other people feel uncomfortable? So your rights should be exercised, but not at the detriment of somebody else's rights. I don't know if you if you get my meaning.
Yes,
it's just
I
like
do.
Saying even if I... If I believe that I would like to maybe play my drums in this space, that's what I want to do. But it could affect the next person because of the noise levels.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be that push and pull in that respect. And I think every person should take responsibility. We all have a measure of what we know is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But what most employers will try and do, or what most work environments will have, are rules of engagement, are codes of conduct, and they spell out how someone should be carrying themselves in the work environment. Where there's no code of conduct, there is a general statutory instrument that can apply to anyone and everyone, and it sets out how people should be relating with each other in the workplace. And also it goes on further to set out how a disciplinary procedure should be handled and how you should charge someone for having actually flouted something. But there has to be a point of reference to depart from for that to happen. So it's important that we clarify these things in our spaces of employment. And they should say, okay, the dressing, okay, not necessarily saying you should all wear one cardigan that you should buy from this shop and your skirts must be this length, but you should be formally dressed.
Okay.
Perhaps, you know, that bracket, then you can find things that are creative but are formal.
All right. And now you're saying a point of reference. I know you've spoken about this. You keep speaking about it. We're looking at the law and the policies that one should know, because I've spoken about this before. A lot of Zimbabweans do not actually know what the law says. Let's look at the law of Zimbabwe in relation to sexual harassment in the workplace. What are the laws that victims have on their side to back them up?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, we start from the Constitution of Zimbabwe, and this is the cornerstone of our entire legal system. And if something is happening that's inconsistent with the Constitution, it immediately falls away. The Constitution in Section 65, subsection 1, it actually puts forward what is a human right, that every person has the right within their workplace to actually be protected from customs, practices, conduct that makes them feel as if they're losing their dignity, and they should have equal benefit and protection of the law. And conduct such as sexual harassment falls within that ambit. So our Constitution is saying you, as a citizen who is employed anywhere, it doesn't matter where you're employed, you have the right to conduct yourself, obviously, as well. It starts from your individual.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a right, there's also a responsibility.
Yes.
There's a responsibility for you to also...
That's actually as well for the dressing.
Yes.
You know, where there's a right, there's a responsibility.
Exactly. Case in point. I think we've got
to love that.
Yeah. So where you have a right, you have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So your conduct must also be consistent. And anything that's invalid should be dealt with. Then other people's conduct around you should allow you to then be in that workspace, benefit from the protection of the law, and from being treated equally and with dignity. And that means when it comes to opportunities, when it comes to working hours, when it comes to advancement, all of that falls under that umbrella.
Okay.
And then we also move on to the Labor Act. And this also, and I think I spoke about it earlier, but particularly in Section 8, talks about sexual harassment being an unfair labor practice and something that somebody can actually be brought up for disciplinary proceedings. And this is something that brings this to the fore as well, because it shows that the law does recognize that these working environments are spaces within which the employer has a duty to protect you. And what goes even further is there are cases where under that section I'm talking about, mm-hmm. there can be something called vicarious liability okay. for sexual harassment.
That's a big word.
Vicarious liability basically means that you are connecting or attaching the employer and making the employer responsible for the actions of his employee, particularly mm-hmm. sexual harassment. So I'm working somewhere, say, we can use the Deloitte and Touch example that you used there. I'm working at Deloitte and Touch. A partner there sexually harasses me, causes me to go through the motions, and I suffer irreparable harm psychologically, and you know, I can never work anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I can also sue the company for the actions of the employee.
Wow.
And then what this does is it also makes employers accountable mm. for the actions of their male employees.
Mm. Hey, a mouthful there, you know. That just shows that the law has people at hand, and they you know, you actually have some protection with regards working in your working space. You have some protection, and people really don't not know that, and they really don't understand that. The gender policy, okay?
I think we also just, there's an issue of the common law remedies okay. as well. We talked about the civil damages. Approach the court. Seek civil damages, special damages. Quantify and say, this is what this person has made me go through. And there's also the criminal code that also offers some of this protection where it becomes indecent assault, where there are things called, where some of these utterances can then be deemed as criminal insults. And this is also something that's provided for under the criminal code, and you can get protection in that regard.
Mm, okay. Let's look at the national gender policy. How is it, or how can it be incorporated in the different human resource manuals for different organizations?
Well, obviously there are...
And what does the gender policy entail?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the first thing is we have to consider that there are duty bearers. And when we're looking at the national gender policy, this is something that puts forward a lot of the conventions and principles that are expressed even through the United Nations, even through KEDAW and all of those efforts that Zimbabwe is ratified to. Mm-hmm. So Zimbabwe is speaking the same message with the rest of the world in mm-hmm. eradicating all forms of violence towards women, and particularly now shifting to the workplace. So we're looking at issues of the Zimbabwe Gender Commission being one of these duty bearers that I'm speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
And they are there to ensure that there's gender equality and to deal with issues of gender discrimination, which are also provided for in the Constitution in terms of Section 56. This protects everyone from any discriminatory practices or conduct. So what the Zimbabwe Gender Commission then is doing in pushing this message forward is ensuring that all forms of gender discrimination are eliminated. They're ensuring that all victims of sexual harassment should file complaints with the Gender Commission. So the Zimbabwe Gender Commission is there. It was set up by the Constitution and is there to perform all of these functions. But it needs to trickle downwards to the victims of these actions, of these misdeeds, to come forward, approach the Gender Commission, and assist in actually rolling out the message, the mandate, the mantra to all spaces, to get to a time when people and victims are able to speak out, and we incorporate that there should be equality and equity, and we're trying to achieve gender parity really by the year 2030, and we're still pushing for that.
Mm, all right. And you are part of the Zimbabwe, you are a member of the Zimbabwe Women's Lawyers Association.
Absolutely.
Maybe before our time runs out, let's just look at how to go about going to the Lawyers Association, because one account on goes antina mariacho yeku lawyer anondi miririra for nyaya yakadai, because obviously if you're working with an organization, they've got their big lawyers, and you know, they've got people backing them up. How do people get in touch, and what's the process with working with Zwala?
Mm. The process really is that, I think I want to just make it clear that Zwala is an organization set up for people precisely as you're describing, people who find themselves indigent, people who find themselves without resources, but they have cases that they need to be heard. Mm-hmm. So they can approach the Zimbabwe Women Lawyers offices in Harare. They're also in Bulawayo, and they're spread out all over the country. We offer help desks as well. We mm-hmm. offer community outreach, and we go into communities from time to time. Mm-hmm. But people can drop in at the office. It's absolutely free of charge. Mm-hmm. Our offices in Harare are off 5 Avenue, number 200 5 Avenue. Okay. And they can approach us there. They can also reach us on our
literally
website.
Literally just walking in.
They can just walk in. Yeah. They can just walk in and get the help. And we aim to see, so far we see about 50 people every day mm-hmm. In our bid to do the best that we can. We are an organization that is donor funded and heavily depends on the contributions made by members of the legal fraternity as well. So we're doing the best that we can, but we can offer assistance in that regard where we have partners as well that we can refer people with issues to defend, depending on the nature of the complaint that they may have. So we have affiliate partners that we can also send people to who also offer these services free of charge. So once you've approached Zwala, you'll be assisted rather mm-hmm. by a volunteer or somebody who we have there to take down your information, the facts of your case, and then they'll advise you how to go about the matter from that point going forward. But it's essential that you also use the hotlines, the helplines. You can find us readily on all platforms, social media, Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association, Zwala with the green logo.
Mm. Right, you've heard it for yourself. You can actually get assistance and help with your situation if you are facing any form of sexual harassment in your place of work at Zwala. Now, to just wrap up, Rumbi, let's look again back at the scenarios, because we need to understand this, not just the small things, the even the big things. Listen, please, just take us through, as we are wrapping up, some of the scenarios we are looking at with regards to sexual harassment, because a lot of them may pass off as not so important, or this is normal, this is how kutamba kwedu kubasa, or this is normal kuntindiwane basa kwakadaya ndofana kutorana na CEO ndofana kutodai. So take us through some of the scenarios just to have clarity for our listeners today.
Absolutely. Well, what tends to happen now is, as you've rightly said, sexual harassment is a behavior. So already it's something that you cannot touch. It's intangible, but it's behavior. So behavior is made up of certain actions, certain words, and we look at the issue of dirty jokes, comments on physical attributes. We talked about the HKD, landlord, mtumba wa sekuru, little things like that mm-hmm. are usually said in public spaces, mm-hmm. even at the workplace. Mm-hmm. Issues of playful behavior. Sometimes this could be deemed, as you're saying, kutamba kwedu, almost like a chiramu in a way, mm-hmm. isn't it? And this is unwanted, it's deliberate touching, cornering, and all of this. And you're saying, we're playing. He's my work husband. Yeah, so that can also be deemed as a practical example of sexual harassment. We also spoke about the issue of spreading rumors or rating others as to sexual activity or performance, talking about one's sexual activity in front of others, displaying or distributing sexually explicit drawings, pictures,
so
material.
If you're on a group kubasa mm-hmm. and someone sends something that is not right in terms of, that's very sexually explicit and you're not comfortable with it, you could actually go and
absolutely.
Make a complaint and it could be taken up.
It could be taken up. And it goes even further now. Now there are emails, there are all these things that can also be sent of a very, very unsavory nature. Mm-hmm. But if it makes you feel uncomfortable and if it's a conduct of a sexual nature, it is deemed sexual harassment. Then there's some of the other physical examples where standing too close to someone or brushing up against someone is really, you know, when you're queuing up for something, you're nodding, are you a victim as well?
No, I'm not a victim, but you know, it can pass off as, because now I know we're not talking about it today mm-hmm. because we still have other sessions where we're talking about sexual harassment in the work in public. Mm-hmm. And someone is just way too close, yeah, for comfort.
Mm. No. One meter separation,
exactly.
Always,
but that's very uncomfortable.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is, but those are some of the examples, and mm-hmm. the most common one is the actual blatant sexual favor. Yeah, and I always like to refer to the Paul Matavele song.
Oh yeah,
you know, yeah. If you want a job here, then you and I have got a special relationship. And I think he outlines everything so well in that song. It says Tanga Wandida, if you get with me, then everything will be fine for you. I'll give you an allowance. I'll give you lunch money, but your husband mustn't know what we're doing here. And this happens.
Yeah, it is very uncomfortable. I think most men are sending messages here on our WhatsApp platform. I think they're really emphasizing on yeah, I think that's the number one issue. But we've covered that because please change my tiro. And I think Tambush Taura, because the one of the listeners who sent me a message says, thank you, I like this. Your right comes with responsibility, like what you said. So I think in as much as we are trying to be responsible, we are trying to be free.
And freedom enforce our rights.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's also we need to understand. I know a lot of female activists will have me questioning myself for saying this, but you know, it does come back as well sometimes to us as women, because you need to just be responsible of your actions. You know, you need to make sure that you're dressed appropriately. Yeah, move with the trends. Class can be, you know, you can be classy, just so that you're just responsible of your male counterpart, because
I'd be interested to find out whether any men have actually also put complaints forward to say, I don't like the way Rumbi dresses, it's messing me up, I can't work.
So men can actually make those,
they can. And I think this then also tends to demystify that it's all about women. Mm-hmm. And better yet, that men are always looking for it, or men want to see that at the workplace. Mm-hmm. Because if they're coming forward and saying, actually, no, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We want to work in a professional environment free from distractions. And if it starts also coming from that standpoint, and if the perpetrators also take a step back and start to realize that, no, there's something wrong with these actions, or no, that is inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we can point out to what is inappropriate, then that's a starting point, because then we can put forward measures and steps to be taken to avoid that inappropriateness making everyone uncomfortable.
You're very right, Rumbi. And another message coming through here. And 1 meter. Muno anozo pindira, but you figure ima one who rates appropriate. Muno angango figure yanoda. I think that's a very topical discussion that should be had on its own, because yeah,
it's quite topical. But I would also just want to, people always want to say this, and I'm your right to expression is a constitutional right, but
yes,
it's qualified in that you have to express it without infringing on other people's rights. Please tell me, if you ever go for a job interview dressed in your short skirt, did you get the job?
No.
What does that say? So I think people always forget that, you know, there's certain things, there's certain places you cannot even enter. If you're going to go to the court building, any court building in Harare, and anywhere, you have to be dressed a certain way. They will deny you entry. And I mean, even in our spots of reveling, they'll say, no, you can't even wear trainers. So that shows you that there is a line that everyone needs to toe. Let's stop making excuses. Be appropriate. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Let's not try to complicate
things. Yeah, or say, oh, who puts appropriate? It's there.
You have to just be responsible for everything and for yourself. You know, you could actually look good. You could actually look good with your jeans, with your slacks, with a shirt, or whatever it is that you decide to, and you still look smart and you still look good. But of course, we do have the instances whereby someone is just going to pass a very uncomfortable comment.
Mm-hmm.
About your body structure, about just you as a woman. Yeah. We still have those instances as well. We're slowly coming to an end to our program, but maybe Rumbi, any last words that you would like to advise listeners who are listening with regards to sexual harassment in the workplace?
I'd like just to wrap things up and dovetail it into a lot of what we were talking about towards the end of the program, that there really is a responsibility, firstly, on your employer to ensure that your environment is safe, to ensure that your environment allows you to work professionally and does not put you in compromising situations. Once that has happened, you as an employee also have a duty to your fellow employees. Are you necessarily always passing comments that sit well with them? Why are you always saying things that somebody else might find uncomfortable? Let's just be cognizant of that fact. Respect everyone at the workplace. Mm-hmm. Let's ensure that we're not harassing people or perpetrating any more actions of sexual harassment, and also be alive to the different forms of sexual harassment that may be happening around you, and you need to take the first step. If it makes you uncomfortable, speak out about it. We teach our children that don't speak to strangers. We teach our children people shouldn't touch you this is a bad touch, this is a good touch. Mm-hmm. So if we can put that into our children, then maybe we need to be taking this up within our workplaces and being sure we're putting across a culture that promotes gender equality, that promotes what we were talking about in terms of the gender position and the national gender curriculum pushing forward. Our workspaces should be safe for both men and women. We shouldn't have any instances where decisions are made because of the length of my skirt. Mm-hmm. Because also it goes to affect the quality of the work that's done in whatever organization that is. Let's respect ourselves also as women to not use our God-given talents and assets to jump the queue to get undeserved favors. Sure. Let's, you know, do everything by the book, and merit should always come first. But we have a responsibility to the people around us, and speak out. Even if you see a fellow sister suffering sexual harassment, make a complaint. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be happening to you for you to actually then push it forward. Mm-hmm. And also some victims, I think it's something we forgot to cover. Mm-hmm. Some victims may actually play along, but it doesn't mean that it's something it's that right. they want. It doesn't yes. mean that it's right. So sexual harassment should come to an end, and naming and shaming of perpetrators, I think, may also be something good in realizing that.
Yeah. Very. I can't believe the time has run out, because there was a lot to talk about, but I believe that a lot of people learned a lot that they didn't know, and it's just food for thought. There's certain things that are really unnecessary for you to do in your workplaces. Let's respect each other. Rumbi, thank you very much for coming through and talking to us about this very topical topic. All right, Rumbi Venge, thank you very much for coming through. Hope to have you one day soon again, telling us about these laws and everything, you know, that we need to know about our rights as women, and even for the men as well. So thank you very much for that.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and what a fruitful discussion. I enjoyed every minute of it, and I hope that everybody took something home from that. Thank you.
All right. This is EFM Stereo, my station, your station. You're listening to The Platform. It is a special edition proudly brought to you by the Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association, and it's a four-day series. Tomorrow we are continuing, and this time we are talking about sexual harassment in the public spaces. So please do get in touch next tomorrow at 7:30 to 8:30. We will be speaking again on this issue. Thank you very much. My name is Samantha Rosari. Keep it ZFM Stereo for tonight.
This special edition of The Platform was brought to you by the Zimbabwe Women Lawyers Association, ZWALA.